This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. And today and the next 3 weeks, I'm recording these shows from Romsey here southwest of London in Monkey Nut Studios, and they produced, created, directed our video series, which is coming out actually in the next few weeks. So we're looking forward to that. The video series is a 6-part series on freedom from porn addiction, and I get into healing for men, for wives, youth issues. There's a lot in it, so we'll be making more announcements on that as the time grows closer. So we had a new regime change recently in leadership in the U.S. And there's been some things that I agree with and some things I've been kind of troubled about. There was talk of basically taking over Greenland. And there was talk of taking the Panama Canal back. There was talk of making Canada the 51st state. And these kind of things kind of gave pause, and the Gulf of Mexico is just renamed the Gulf of America. And I'm watching this play out and thinking, oh, this doesn't come across well. There's a smell of arrogance in the air. And so I want to get into, and I usually avoid politics like the plague. This is not about politics here. This is going to has a lot to do with our moral character and the direction of our country and other nations too, because a lot of this applies to everyone. So I'm going to bring a few news stories up to you to give you some food to build on. And just this week, an AI startup in China called DeepSeek wiped out $1 trillion from the global markets after they released an open source AI model they claim they made for just $6 million in 2 months. While the big tech in the U.S., they spent billions of dollars to create the same thing. So this just like freaked out the stock markets. And this has been part of a long trend of an economic decline that I don't know that a lot of people are really aware of. So for example, in 2000, worldwide car sales by brand, General Motors was number one. Toyota was number two, Ford was number three, so two out of the top three sellers in the world were American. In 2023, Toyota was number one, Volkswagen was number two, Honda was number three, so the U.S. has been expelled from the top three. It's been that way for some years. Ford was number four, and GM was down to number nine. So Detroit used to be the automotive manufacturing capital of the world, and now it's like a desolate area, crime-ridden houses with bullets in them that they're selling for $10,000, $20,000, and $50,000, and you don't even want to go there. How about patents? In 2023, the U.S. granted 323,410 patents. That's a lot. China granted more than double. 798,000 patents the Chinese granted that 1 year alone. A year ago, Boeing, top of the line, top tier airline or airline manufacturing company of the world, in business for decades, first class, everybody knows them well, had a door blow off. the plane when it was taking off, Alaska Airlines, and they found out later the pins dropped out. What kind of quality control do you have that you're not even looking at what's going on with the door? And then it came out later that what has been happening is that Boeing has been farming out more work, so they're not manufacturing as much in-house as they used to. And when you're manufacturing as in-house, you have a lot more control of the quality. How about the military? Hypersonic missiles is a big deal these days. Russia has used them in Ukraine, and one U.S. general said they're unstoppable. There's no way that they can intercept them. Russia and China have hypersonic missiles today. The U.S. is still floundering to catch up. And then, well-known fact that the U.S. has $1 trillion in interest payments that it makes every single year on a $36 trillion debt. And I bring all this out because our moral character affects our work ethic. And the corruption in the U.S. has been building for decades now. And while we were trying to figure out what a woman was or how many genders there were, in China, they were investing a ton of money in research and development and science, and now they're leapfrogging past us. They're doing a lot more in AI and robotics that we're doing right now. And I talk to other business owners, and they tell me the same thing, that the work ethic in the U.S. has just collapsed. And a lot of guys I talk to, and I hate to say this, don't want to hire 20 and 30-year-olds anymore. It used to be the opposite, that you'd want to hire youth because of their energy and their creativity, and they would come in with a solid work ethic, and they could put in the 50 and 60-hour weeks. And, you know, the 40 and the 50-year-olds didn't want to go there. But now it's reversed, where companies want to hire the 40 and the 50 and even the 60-year-olds because they have a sound work ethic. I hired one guy a while ago, and he walked out, I think 24 hours later, and he told us we didn't know what we were doing. He was in his 20s and just got out of college. I just boggled my mind. He would say something like that. Talk about arrogance. And this has infected our society, but it's surely in the church too. So a recent Barna poll showed that 2/3 of churches don't see porn as a problem for their congregation. This just came out a couple of months ago. This is nothing new. I mean, nothing old. So, and I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 5:1-2. This God gives the reason when we say we don't have a problem with sin. And the thing that really boggles my mind, how can a church say we don't have a problem with sin when the numbers are so big and they've been so big for a long time? And so 1 Corinthians 5:1-2, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from you. And let me ask you, do we see many people mourning about sin today in the church? I don't think I've ever seen a pastor mourning or brokenhearted, knowing that 60-70% of the men in his flock are in bondage to some level of lust, whether it's looking at porn once a month, once a week, once a day, whether it's 90% of youth exposed to it, whether it's 60% of youth sexting, it all that gets packaged with it. There was one survey that showed that 50% of Christians said there's nothing wrong with sex outside of marriage. How can you read your Bible and think that's okay? We're lost. And the things that I mentioned economically, these are all reflected in our moral choices. And so when a church says, hey, I don't have a problem with sexual sin, when 2/3 of our churches say, hey, we're good. We don't have a problem with porn or masturbation or those type of things. Scripture says we're arrogant. We're blind. We don't understand what's going on. I see more and more people today saying that we have a coming revival, and I know there's some enthusiasm about the current administration and some of the choices they're making. And like I said, there are some choices they're making that I agree with, but all the underlying cracks and fissures in the culture and in the church have not gone away because of an election. And it's like, sometimes it feels like people are taking their foot off the gas spiritually because of this. And there's kind of a, hey, we're going to have a revival. So let's think about what happened in Jonah chapter 3 for a moment. The Assyrians had no Bibles. They had no churches. They had no YouTube. They had no books. They had no Christian conferences. They had nothing. All they had was Jonah, who hated their guts, walking through their city and screaming, in 40 days, you're done. That was it. Jonah wasn't walking through the city of Nineveh and saying, hey, we're going to have a revival next week. Why don't y'all come to whatever building and we're going to have a great revival time? There was none of that. It was, you're in serious trouble. You're going down. And if you don't turn away from your sin, it is over for you. And I just don't see that message. I see it's treating revival like it's some kind of party. And I see churches treating church like it's some kind of party, especially when you have a screaming loud rock band. And being here in the UK reminded me of a time when I visited the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London several years ago. That's a church where Charles Spurgeon pastored. I love his writings, his messages. I've read his sermons, especially everything he has to say on prayer. And what I noticed was the experience was totally different than anything I've experienced in the States. So as we were walking in, nobody was talking. Nobody was carrying a coffee cup. Everybody had a pretty serious look on their face, like, I'm here to encounter God. And when everybody got seated in the sanctuary, it was very quiet. There are a few people whispering here and there, but there was no casual chat. And the whole environment felt like we're in the presence of a holy God right now. We're here to seek his face and to hear from him. And silence was a big part of it. And if you read in Revelation, you'll see that there's going to be silence in heaven for 30 minutes. And how did Jesus prepare for ministry? It wasn't in seminary, it wasn't in temple, it wasn't in Bible school. It was 40 days alone in silence in the desert. I think in the average American church, if you have 4 minutes or 40 seconds of silence, people start peeing their pants because they're very uncomfortable, because in silence, you feel who you are. Your emotions come to the surface. That's the downside. The positive side is in silence, we can tune into the Holy Spirit, reverence and awe of the Holy God. And that's what was going on in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. We visited that Sunday, reverence and awe. I was just like, wow, this is wonderful. This is amazing. These people get it. The church isn't just a happy party. And it wasn't long before I started sensing the presence of God in the place. And it was like, it was beautiful. And we're missing out so much. You ever notice that there's always noise in a church? Almost every moment there's noise. And that's because they know who they're ministering to, people that aren't comfortable with themselves. And I go away to the desert alone. As my listeners know, once every two, three, 4 months, and I'll have 2 or 3 days alone with God in a lot of silence and a lot of time seeking his face, a lot of time resting in his presence. And in such beautiful moments, I hear his voice. He cleanses me. He heals. He restores. Those moments are just amazing. Out in 100 degree Arizona heat, it's wonderful when there is nothing. We can tune into his voice and the beauty of his presence. But so much of this has been lost. And why do we even go to church? And aren't you hungry for God? Don't you want more of him when you go to church? And we talk to a lot of people who come to restore help, and they want more. They just don't want a song and a sermon. They want to be equipped for war. And whenever I go to the desert, I get attacked. There's big time spiritual warfare. Why? Because the enemy attacks rest. He wants us busy. He wants us distracted from our sins. He doesn't want us facing the lies we bought into or the things we're in bondage to. And that's why during this trip and just about every other trip I take, there's a lot of intense spiritual warfare. The first week I landed here around January 12th, I had one or two decent nights of sleep, and the rest were like, I was barely sleeping 3 hours. Some of that was the time change, but some of that was just like, I had to get up in the middle of the night and spend some time praying because I was getting hit. Because the enemy doesn't want us to have Joni to come in our midst and say, hey, you've got 40 days and you're done. He doesn't want people on their knees crying out for mercy to God, and that's what is missing. We don't have people saying that. Instead of saying we're going to have a revival, which to me is arrogant in itself because you don't know what God's going to do, we should be saying we need to be on our knees, just like the Ninevites were and did. We need to be on our knees crying out to God for mercy. And if you study the history of revivals, prayer meetings are going on all the time. And that's basically what happened in Jonah 3. It was just 40 days of prayer meetings, crying out to God, humbling themselves and fasting. That was it. No pastor, no worship leader, no songs, no nothing. And they had the most powerful spiritual awakening, revival, whatever you want to call it, in all of history, from what I see. That's it. Prayer, God. So if you want to start a revival, shut up about it. The way we begin is saying, God, convict me. God, come in and convict me of my love for the world, of the things that my lust, my pride, my arrogance, my selfishness, my foolishness. And 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the life and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. God, convict me of my love for the things of this world, the things that distract me and choke me for you. I saw a survey recently said the average American will spend 6 hours a day on their phone. And when you combine video games and other forms of entertainment and social media, the average American will spend 2,500 years on those things. And when I speak, I'll challenge people, spend an hour a day alone with the Lord. And I can tell by the blank look in their faces that it's like, I don't have time for that. Really? No, we do. It's just that our priorities are just jacked up. Love for the world. We made entertainment into a kind of little idol. Sometimes I wonder if this smartphone is like a little idol. And I'm not saying throw away your smartphone. I was using maps to get here in England. And oh my gosh, I'm so glad I got it because I'd hate to be sitting there holding a map book and trying to navigate the roads out here while trying to figure out how to drive on the left-hand side of the street. That's a challenge in itself when you're used to driving on the right-hand side of the street. So we need those things are good and blessings, but we can get choked. We can miss the things that give us life. And Jesus said he came to abundant to give us a life. Do you have life today? What is the real source of your life? I know for a lot of men it's work. And I've had that struggle, but work is not the source of my life. For quite a few years, I made women the source of my life, you know, lusting after bodies, and woman is not the source of my life. And the thing is, once you have a girlfriend or you get married, then you see real quickly that women are not the source of your life, because they have the same flesh that we do, that men do. And they make mistakes, and they fall into traps of pride or fear or anger or whatever it is. And people are not the source of our life. And so what are you making the source of your life today? And that goes back to, how is your prayer life? I always mention the prayer life, and it's so critical. And there's so many people that aren't getting that. That I remember Martin Luther, I read a quote, he said that, if he doesn't spend 2 hours a day in prayer, the devil gets the victory. And I often ponder that thought. And I don't spend 2 hours in prayer a day most days. But I do strive to end up spending, I don't know, maybe an hour, sometimes an hour and a half with God. And that can be prayer, that can be worship, that can be time in the scripture. But that's where we draw our life from. But also crucifying the flesh. I need that all the time, especially living in Arizona when everybody, you know, yoga pants and stretch pants all over the place. And then summertime, the clothes come off and this flesh loves to go the wrong direction. And I have to keep it killed. I have to keep it in the grave because it's always peaking. And so, arrogance, I go back to what I began with. The Greenland thing and that I mentioned in the beginning, it does concern me because this could backfire big time. Because what happens when bullies start throwing their weight around, eventually people are going to start figuring out, you know what, we need to band together because these people are, you can't work with them. And I could see, you know, the BRICS countries, I think it's Brazil, Russia, India, and China. It wouldn't take too much for them to say, hey, come along, let's create a new currency. Those discussions have been made already. And it wouldn't take much to tank the U.S. dollar. I'm no economic expert, but I can read the tea leaves. Arrogance, mourning over sin. Are we doing that Sunday morning? I think we need to start devoting Sunday mornings to just crying out to God, breaking up into small groups of two or three. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I did a conference last Saturday in Islesbury, and I broke everybody up to share and pray. And we did that for 20, 25 minutes. And every time I break people up when I go and speak, usually what happens is they get a panic look, but then after they get into it, there's laughing and serious conversations. Sometimes there's hugging. Sometimes there's weeping. And this is where we go from just talk to being doers of the word and calling people to repentance. You know, what if a pastor came in to church or started church off this Sunday and said, hey, we're not going to do a message today. We're not doing worship today. We're just going to rest in silence with God for a few minutes. And then we're going to start inviting God to convict us of our sin. And we're going to confess our lust and our pride and our arrogance and our bondage to these things. And we're going to pray for each other for healing. You would make more impact on that one church service than you would probably in 6 months or to a year's worth of church services. So if you want revival, that's the way through. The same path that they took in Jonah 3. So my friends, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. And next week I'll be talking with Aura Elliott from Finland. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.